8 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Got some thoughts on the weekend for the NCAA men's basketball tournament. We referenced for Oregon State, first time in the Elite Eight since 1982. Yeah, a long, long time ago.
Long ago.
And like I said, definitely some different faces in the Elite Eight. Houston, they're there for the first time since Hakeem Olajuwon and Faisalima Jama into the Elite Eight. So you have Oregon State, Houston, Arkansas has not been there. I believe it said since 1995. Baylor, it hasn't been quite as long. I think it was, 2012. But you have the run that UCLA is on right now, first four team that is now into the Elite Eight. A lot of people thought Pac-12, they would not fare well in this tournament. Quite nicely with Oregon State, UCLA, and USC all into the Elite Eight. First time since 2014, no ACC team is in the Elite Eight. I know you don't like to hear this, Buckeye. Michigan's playing well. Playing really well.
They'll gag on it at some point.
The lone Big Ten survivor.
Yeah.
Gonzaga looks like they're practically unstoppable. They have now won 26 straight games by double digits. Think about that.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And they are, of course, now 29-0. We'll talk with Tom Hudson, the voice of Gonzaga, coming up at 8:20 this morning. Tom's got time in his hands. Working a little game prep for tomorrow's matchup with Gonzaga and USC. And I think USC, if they're this will be Gonzaga's first really big challenge in this tournament. Because USC has the length. Ty Giddey's played really well in that backcourt. But the thing is, though, do the Trojans have enough up front to match up with Kispert and Drew Timmy? Drew Timmy's been fabulous. And how about that? How about that stash that he's rocking?
Oh, yeah. It looks fantastic.
So we'll talk with Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga, coming up at 8:20, trying to track down Chris Hanks for a slot in the 9 o'clock hour. Maverick baseball team getting the weekend sweep in pod play over at Sam Suplicio Field. Got the win on Friday night, game that got delayed a little bit because of a lightning delay for that Adams State Regis game before the Mavericks played on Friday night against Regis, and then Mavericks turned around to play Regis and got the win on Friday night, and then just tattooed Adams State yesterday, 25-1, 6-3 win over Regis to wrap up a very successful weekend for the number two team in the nation.
Isn't that their third or fourth 20-some-odd run to one win or something like that this year?
Let's take a look here.
They've been wrecking fools.
They beat Adams State.
Uh-huh.
29-1.
Oh, okay.
And 29-6.
Oh, well, got a little closer. Okay.
Came close against Montana State Billings in February. They only put up 17. But let's say, wins over 20.
Yeah.
So there's two. Beat Mines 22-5. There's three.
And 25-0. And
there's four.
Ooh.
Adams State, 25-2. There's seven.
Dang.
And 25-1 yesterday.
They beat up 50-3 in 24 hours.
To three.
It ain't working, Chief. Whatever's going on with Adams State, it's just not working.
No, it's time to go back to the drawing board.
29, 29, 25, and 25 in four games.
Yeah.
Woof.
And the Mavs are 16-2.
Yeah. At least over the course of those four games, Adams did score 10 runs.
Yeah, they got that going for them, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they got that going for them.
Tomorrow, the BP machine is fired up again.
at Alamosa. We're hoping to talk with Chris Hanks coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. So.
Adam State's like, these are postponed from a couple weeks ago.
Can we
do that again?
Hey, it's snowing down
it's
here.
It's broken.
No, it's not.
All of our arms are broken.
Everybody's got a sore elbow. All
both
of our pitchers.
Elbows.
Everybody's elbows hurt.
Yeah.
Every position player, every pitcher. We can't play due to a rash of an epidemic of strained elbows.
We can't play because we also have a flat side of our head from the last four games.
Ouch. So we got one from Chuck this morning. Oh, Chuck mentioned when your last quarterback.
It wasn't a trivia question, but we appreciate
threw it out there.
Yeah.
That it was
the last quarterback that the Broncos drafted.
Timothy Richard Tebow. Yeah.
The only quarterback they've drafted to win a playoff game.
Let's see.
BTRT.
I'm looking at Robert's
text. First one's
here.
All right. We can get to that.
Avid cyclist. I noticed there was a couple, perhaps more, fat tire riders among the racers. I always thought the pencil thin tire racers would have the advantage. Does the team care? Well, I don't care. I'm not a cycling aficionado.
No.
So typically thinner tires on road bikes. That's what I've always understood.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's not we don't care. It's just neither one of us are
I haven't
big
had to worry
experts.
About bike tires for over 20 years.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I thought fat tire was a beer.
Dirt bike tires, motorcycle tires, I can talk with a little more expertise on that.
Mm-hmm.
Bicycle tires, no.
Fat tire, it's a beer, and I hear it's good.
it's a fine beverage, yeah, from the folks in New Belgium. And then he took some exception with you playing the clip for sound check.
Okay.
That referenced a strip club. We try to be as family friendly as possible within FCC guidelines, but Robert, there are going to be times that
there's nothing wrong with the clip.
There was nothing. There was nothing. Nobody referred to anything about what goes on there, stuff like that.
This just in: strip clubs occasionally have good food.
Some of them do. I can't attest to that. No. I can't. Maria Taylor, though, she could about the lemon pepper wings at Magic City, and so.
There's a couple places back east I know do like Thanksgiving buffets for clients, if you will.
Yeah, okay. Clientele.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, you know. But and then he says that he talks about Drew Lock. Strong arm, just needs to make better decisions. Stay with Drew Lock. I see Jackson of the Ravens not being able to complete the sideline pass between the cornerback and safety. Quarterback Drew Lock can.
So does that make Drew Lock a better quarterback?
Lamar Jackson can get his team to the playoffs. And there's other things Lamar Jackson can do that Drew Lock can't.
Extend plays.
Win games. 25 of them in the last 2 years.
One guy has taken his team to the playoffs.
Twice.
The other guy has not even came anywhere close to getting to his team.
One guy has not played a full season.
He hasn't even played a full season, much less get his team to 500, much less get them to the playoffs. Yeah, I'm not going to. We're not going to. Come on. We're not going to compare Lamar Jackson right now to Drew Lock. That's not a fair comparison because Lamar Jackson's a much more successful quarterback, better quarterback than Drew Lock right now. He is. Yep. May not always like the way that Lamar Jackson does it. He may not be the most polished passer in the world, but his numbers are better than Drew Lock's. Just because Drew can throw the out pattern a little better doesn't make him a better quarterback. The quarterback position is not a one attribute position.
No.
And that guy does it better than that guy.
The attribute is, can you win?
And
Lamar
Jackson
does it to the tune of 25 wins in the last 3 years.
Steve.
Whoa, that's great.
That's a good one, Steve.
Can you win the food on a text we can't read on the air? That's probably more of a production question.
Are you asking me as Judge Dredd, Judge Jury, and implementer in this case? Nobody gets executed.
Text.
Yeah.
Man alive, that's a great text.
And it's one we could probably read on the air. It might offend somebody. It doesn't have anything, language-wise, that's...
It's definitely going to offend somebody.
Can I ponder that for a little bit?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, because it's so clever that I have to have it in consideration. I have to. From Andy. Jeez, Robert, in the words of the immortal John Candy, lighten up, Francis. Lock is not in the same league as Jackson. Lighten up, Francis. It's good. All right, A-10. Good, the bad, the ugly today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, even though Steve's is not a good, bad, the ugly today, which we still won from you.
That's great, though.
Both are solid. Though.
Oh, man alive. That's
though,
great.
Though Andy wins a lot.
Yeah.
Andy wins a lot. That's a solid one, too.
Yeah.
Steve and Andy right now.
He probably needs some Qdoba, too, because being an Adam State guy, we kind of roughed up his Grizzlies a little bit. Not as bad as the Mavs did, but we roughed him up a little.
Sorry, Andy. Well, Andy would say, look, I acknowledge.
Like, I know.
Adam State's not very good.
They only scored 100 runs in four games against them.
That's pretty good, right, for the Mavs?
That's good. That's pretty a good, good number, right? Yeah.
That's all production. That's some timely hitting. That's some making some contact.
Yeah.
All right.
You got 29 and 29. That's 58. Yeah, 108 runs to 10. That's good.
And they get them tomorrow.
Yeah.
Again. Oh, boy. All right, so text in, call in today. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. All right, let's get to what happened with the Niners and the Dolphins. Because they made the deal on Friday. The Dolphins sending the third pick in the draft to the Niners for the 12th pick. Then the Dolphins then made the trade with Philadelphia. So the Dolphins, their moves, they finished with the 6th pick in the draft. Multiple first-round picks down the road. Miami also has the 18th pick in this year's draft.
I think Miami is picking every other pick for the next 3 years.
It sounds like it.
It feels that way.
So now that the Niners have moved up to the third spot, you got Jags, you got the Jets, mm-hmm. and now you got the Niners. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence. It's going to be Zach Wilson. And then Fields? Trey Lance?
Yeah.
Seems like it's probably going to be Justin Fields, right?
That probably, yeah.
And now they're going to be out shopping around Jimmy Garoppolo.
Actually, if you're Kyle Shanahan, do you probably take Trey Lance? I think he fits that system a little more than a Justin Fields would.
Yeah, I tend to think that.
Then if you're Atlanta, what do? Do you take Justin Fields, even though he definitely doesn't fit your system of, you know, concrete shoes quarterback back there that Matt Ryan's been running for 15 years?
Well, you're going to have Matt Ryan because he took, I think they did a little reduction in his contract.
I think so.
But the clock's now ticking on Matt Ryan, right? I mean,
it's been ticking for a while, I think.
Though I'd still love to see him in Denver.
Matt Ryan?
That'd be great in Denver.
But retired at Denver.
He'd be better than Drew Locke at this point in time.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a given, but yeah.
That's not going to happen. But yeah, that from a offensive fitness, because Dirk Cutter was the OC there.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, they've obviously had a with Quinn
some
gone.
Spring cleaning going on.
I think who their new OC is in Atlanta. Because that obviously will have an impact on the direction that they go at the quarterback spot,
Dave
right?
Dave Ragone?
Oh, yeah, the former Louisville quarterback? Yeah, Dave Ragone?
Sure. Apparently that's where he went? I don't know. I haven't.
Falcons are bringing in Dean Pease, who's had a lot of success mm-hmm. previously with Baltimore. And we're going
former
to like
Bears passing game coordinator, so that may or may not be a good move.
Yeah, spent 5 seasons with the Bears, like you said. 4 is their quarterback's coach. Passing game coordinator this last season, as you referenced. What does a Dave Ragone offense look like?
I don't know.
We don't know. What is
the Bears have been looking for their franchise quarterback since I think George Halas founded the team. And he's been their quarterback's coach and OC for the last 5 years. That's not a great resume to take into a meeting with the Trubisky's and the Foles and the Smoking Jays.
That's a team that offensively has yet to really find its answer at that spot.
That may be a
spot.
Gap on your resume. What'd you do the last 5 years? Nothing.
But also, it's like, what is it? Like I said, what does a Dave Ragone offense look like? A lot of play action, a lot of boots and waggles.
Is his offense the reason why Mitch Trubisky looked competent last year? Good question.
That's a good question. How much of an impact input did he have in that whole thing?
There's also a Matt Barkley sighting in the Bears the last 5 years. Like, who knew?
Yeah, I remember Matt Barkley.
I had no idea.
I think he came in and I don't know if he started a game, but came off the bench, played okay for them, and that kind of...
He was their top-rated passer in 2016.
Kind of boosted his stock a little bit. Not that it obviously propelled him.
Lost
into being
his job to Mitch Trubisky and then lost it again.
And then went to Buffalo and then lost to then lost to Matt Barkley. Losing your job to Mitchell Trubisky twice.
Twice.
Damn, no matter where I go, that guy's always there. Right. It's like gum on my shoe.
He's like Mike Glennon.
He's just always there. So for the Broncos now, still at number nine, which we talked about the Athletic, their mock, where they have the Broncos making a trade with the Eagles for the 12th pick. And so, and they, like I said, they have them taking Quiddy Pay, the edge rusher from Michigan. It seems like, at least this is how I look at it, it seems like quarterback, unless somehow Trey Lance falls there, that I'm not sure how excited they are about Mac Jones. I don't know how to feel about Mac Jones.
We still don't know anything.
Is Mac Jones the next Tom Brady, or is Mac Jones a guy that had...
The next Matt Barkley. Looked great in college because...
That had a Heisman Trophy wide receiver, one of the better backs in college football around him, Waddle, another dynamic playmaker. That was it the guys around him, or was it him?
I don't think we're going to know until the season starts, and do you want to take that gamble?
And here's something else to think about, too, when it comes to Mac Jones, in terms of starts, that this comes from Joe Rolls, who covers the NFL. In the modern era, there are five quarterbacks with 18-plus starts who were taken in the first round. Kyler Murray, Cam Newton, Dwayne Haskins, Mark Sanchez, Mitch Trubisky. Trey Lance started 17 games at North Dakota State. How many games did Mac Jones start at Alabama?
16, right?
Same number. 17 games.
That's close.
And what was the concern about Trubisky? He started, what, 13, 14 games at North Carolina? It wasn't a real big number of games that he started. Are 17 games enough to make a really proper evaluation? I get it, Mac Jones, he had Tua Tagovailoa that was there in front of him.
Right. And Jalen Hurts at one point.
Is that enough starts for you to make an honest appraisal of what either one of those guys can do? And once again, with Mac Jones, how much is it, you know, Devontae Smith, Najee Harris?
Right.
How much is those guys and not him? It's just looking like Denver's probably going to stay with Locke, and maybe they sign a guy like Alex Smith. Or they're going to draft a Kellen Mond. They're going to draft a quarterback later in the draft. Because in the Athletic mock, they have Denver taking Kellen Mond in the fourth round.
Yeah.
It seems like it's going to be veteran guy like Smith, who will put some pressure on Locke a little bit, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of pressure, but not a lot. Can be a mentor, can be a good backup if Locke struggles and still keep Denver afloat if that defense is playing as well as we think they're capable of playing.
But he's not going to make the team significantly better.
No.
At the position, he's not.
Is he going to be a better backup than a Brett Rypien? Probably, because based on experience, you would think that probably Alex Smith would make sense. But it's just sounding more and more like that George Payton's looking around and saying, you know what? Let's see what we got with this guy. Let me see what we have with him this year, another year in Pat Shurmur's system, as Joel mentioned when he called in earlier today, of an offensive scheme that relies more on play action, because Locke was really good in play action passing situations. And then we've got other areas that we need to address. whether it's inside linebacker and it's, you know, a guy like Micah Parsons, or it's offensive line. The Kwity Paye selection's an interesting one. That they're kind of viewing him as the your replacement eventually for Von Miller. And the pass rushers are important. When you're in a division where you've got Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert now and Derek Carr, that's why George Payton's went out and made the deals he's made in regard to the cornerback position. You're in a division that has dynamic quarterback play, and you've got to find a way to slow that down. And you do that by having better cover guys and by having guys who can put pressure on those guys.
Right.
But the Kwity Paye selection, that's the first one I've heard of his name going to the Broncos. It's probably on some other mocks, I'm sure, but that's the first time I've heard his name come up.
Yeah, I've seen Penei Sewell there a couple times. I've seen Micah Parsons, the corners, Farley, Surtain still, even with the offseason moves. Yeah, Kwity Paye, that's a new one for me. And I'm not sure, because Michigan's defense wasn't stellar. I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see if that is the direction that they go. And do we still keep an eye out for the Broncos to make a move, a Darnold move, a Minshew move? You know, there's been a relationship in the past with Elway and John Lynch. Not that that relationship is the same now because of John no longer being the GM, but still a relationship is a relationship. Do they talk to the Niners about Jimmy Garoppolo? Do they look at making a deal, say, okay, we'll give you the 9th pick and we'll take Garoppolo and give us Garoppolo and a second or third round pick, and we'll give you our 9th pick in the draft?
Yeah, because I've seen a lot of smoke with the Garoppolo could be a Bronco by the end of whenever. Maybe.
And my thought about this is, okay, but it's like the Gary Harris thing. He's never healthy. If he's a really good player when he's healthy. That's not very often, though, in the case of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
And are you just, I guess...
I will give him the benefit of the doubt on this, though, in comparison to Gary Harris. At least Jimmy Garoppolo was like 18 minutes away from winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's not... I'm just saying guys that are hurt all the time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I get you.
Yeah, Garoppolo took his team to a Super Bowl and came very close to winning a Super Bowl against the Chiefs. All right, we're going to have Tom Hudson coming up in a moment. I got to get this out of the way. Our intern guy, Matt, you want to grab the microphone there? Smart guy. He's texting me on Saturday, all cocky. I'll say this. It's tough for me to do it. You were right, and I was wrong about Syracuse Houston.
Thank you very much, Jim. I do appreciate that.
Does that make you feel good?
Does it make me feel good? You know, contrary to popular opinion, sometimes interns do know what they're talking about. Especially intern Matt. Yeah.
Hold on.
So how's the C-plus sounding for your grade? How's that sounding?
That still gets me the internship credit.
C's get degrees, Jim.
I know. Well, I should know.
We're not.
So I got through Mesa. C's get degrees.
Majors aren't trying to get into grad school either. We don't need the great GPA.
Okay. We don't need no 4.5 GPA.
No, I would never. Mass-com. I would never ever do that to you. I'd never do that to you. I'd never use personal, you know, things to give you a lower grade.
I definitely would. But
you would.
I'm not in charge.
Because
I'm a little bitter ball of hate.
Extremely bitter. But you were right. I was wrong.
You know, Jim, there's still a lot of gambling we can do between you. There's still a lot of March Madness left.
Okay.
It's very gutsy, though, right as soon as the buzzer sounded to text.
Yeah.
That's very gutsy.
Oh, whoa. I waited a good 20 seconds.
Yeah, he waited a little while.
Oh, okay.
He waited a little while.
I was going to say, was there still confetti flying in the air? I got you.
There we go. I got you. You're wrong.
That's,
all right.
That's
we need
gutsy.
Congratulations on being right.
Thank you.
And I'll be okay. I'll be all right. Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga. He'll have the call in tomorrow night's game with USC. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show.
Craptastic. That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back. Jim Millar with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. The good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. Send that our way. Text or call us 970-242-1340. All right, joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, he is the voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Gonzaga will score off tomorrow against USC in Indianapolis in the Elite Eight. Tom Hudson joins us. Tom, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It's it's interesting weather out here. We go from cloudy and rainy and really cold to sunny and beautiful. And so, sun's shining today, and it's shining on us. That was a heck of a win for GU yesterday. And, things are going good out here, Jim. No complaints at all.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Indiana sounds like they're taking our weather from Colorado. Just wait 5 minutes, and if you don't like it, it'll be something else, right?
Yep, that is exactly what is going on.
Come on, Indiana, keep your own weather, okay? That's our exactly. Stick. That's what we do. The run continues to be so impressive by Mark Few and this Gonzaga team. Tom, a great win yesterday for the Bulldogs, taking down Creighton 83-65. And that guy with the sweet-looking stash, the Kevin McHale, the 21st century, Drew Timmy, another big game, 22 points. Zags are now 29-0. And I saw this number this morning that Gonzaga's now won 26 straight games by double digits. That's just remarkable stuff.
It's completely remarkable. And when you look at it, and, you know, that's kind of always been the thing that I've laughed at, Jim, you know, when you're having these conversations with people and they say, you know, hey, you don't play in a very good league. And you know, you hear all that stuff. Well, what this team has been able to do is win games against everybody, right? I mean, if you're winning games by 8 or 10 points or, you know, 4 or 5 points, then maybe you could have a little bit of, you know, kind of a, hey, what the heck, you know, maybe they're not as good as everybody wants to say. But, you know, the fact that they have dominated like that consistently, you know, the only game we didn't score or we didn't win by double figures was West Virginia here in Indianapolis back at the beginning of December. I mean, it's remarkable. And then when you look at these, you know, these last two games especially, I mean, you're playing against an Oklahoma team who was pretty darn good out of the Big 12, and then Creighton finished second in the Big East, and to be able to do what they've done, I mean, it's remarkable, just the consistency which they play, you know, and how, you know, they stick with it, you know, on the offensive end. And it's funny sometimes, Jim, because you know, yesterday against Creighton, they were really good offensively. Turn it over a little bit, but, I mean, you know, they scored it at a clip, almost 60% from the field. You know, but there are times even with this team where you sit and you look at the numbers, you got it doesn't feel like we played very well. Like against Oklahoma, you're like, geez, 49%, that's our worst shooting percentage of the season. But we still scored 87 points. I mean, this team is just remarkable in its ability to score. And I think, you know, sneakily is pretty good on the defensive end, which leads to those numbers you're talking about. I mean, it's been dominating for the majority of this year.
He's the voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. Tom Hudson joining us on the program today. And mentioned that, you know, USC with the win against Oregon, they win 82-68. And look, Taj Eady had another great game. But I don't think people give USC enough credit, Tom, for what they can do defensively. And they're so good on the offensive glass. That'll be part of the challenge for Gonzaga tomorrow night, is, you know, with Drew Timmy and Kispert and the guys up front going up against with some pretty good length and size of that Trojans front line.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, it's one of those things, I think, Jim, you're right, when you start looking at the numbers a little bit and you break it down and you just look at them defensively in this NCAA tournament. Right? I mean, they gave up, what, 56, 51, and then was 68 last night. They are a really good defensive team. They do have a ton of length, and I think they're really athletic. You talk about Taj Eady. We used to play against him. He was at Santa Clara and was a good player for the Broncos, and I think he's even stepped it up, you know, here at USC in his transfer year. He's been fantastic. And no, the Mobley brothers are, you know, I mean, just watching that game last night and just seeing, like you said, the length and what they can do and holding teams to 38% shooting from the field. So, you know, this is going to be one of those games that's really interesting. You know, yesterday we talked about Creighton, and, you know, they were holding teams to 40% shooting from the field. And, you know, hey, they've got a pretty good defense. But this is an entirely different look. And like you said, they go to the glass on the offensive end, like you said. They rebound it really, really well. But also, you know, with that length and those things they do, and then seeing them play some, you know, that zone and kind of some different things. So I'm intrigued to see how this one plays out because, you know, they give up 64, we score 92, 93. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see which team is kind of able to impose its will. I don't think we're going to play a game in the 60s. I don't think we're going to play a game in the 90s. But, you know, I think it'll be kind of interesting to see, you know, where it ends up somewhere in between there and who that's going to benefit.
Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga Bulldogs, joining us from Indianapolis today. And you mentioned the Mobley brothers, Evan and Isaiah. Evan's had a great season, averaging a team-best 16 points per game. And but Isaiah White was the guy last night for them, that against Oregon, 22 points. I mean, he's been averaging just a little over 7 points per game. They are able to get scoring from some different places in the team outside of Evan Mobley and Taj Eady.
Well, yeah, and isn't that interesting watching him have that kind of a game? And, you know, and you look at him and you look at his size and you think, wow, okay, that guy's stepping out, knocking down shots, and what, he's 6'7", and, you know, a big dude who played really well. And you're right, and I think those are the games that concern you a little bit, you know, when you see guys, okay, gosh, that guy's got the potential to do that and really hurt you. Because obviously, you know, when you're going in looking at a scouting report, I think that's what has made Gonzaga so dangerous this year, is, okay, we want to take this guy away. You know, Corey Kispert shooting 46% from three, so we can't let him shoot threes. Okay, well, we're going to throw the ball down into Timmy, and Timmy's, you know, he's averaging almost 20 points a game. Okay, we're going to double-team him, take that away. All right, well, who do we not defend, right? And so, you know, against Creighton, they chose to leave Joel Ayayi open. Well, Joel was a 39.5% three-point shooter, and he knocked down three of them early in the game. He struggled as the game went on, but when we were kind of establishing what we were doing, you know, they obviously would say it was kind of a pick your poison. Hey, we're going to see if he can make some shots, and he did. And I think that's the same thing with USC. When you see a kid like Isaiah White knock down those shots, now all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, they've got potential. It's not just those top couple of kids like you mentioned. I mean, they've got some other guys that have that ability and the capability to really hurt you. So, you know, in an Elite Eight game, it's going to be fascinating to see, Jim. Of all the stars that we talk about, you know, are either one of the teams going to have some of those other kids that maybe step up and make big plays to help win that thing and get to the Final Four?
He's the voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, Tom Hudson, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And look, for USC, there is an Achilles heel. They do turn the ball over a lot. They turned it over 14 times against Oregon, 13 times against Kansas. It didn't turn out to come back to bite them, but as you well know, your team has the ability to force some turnovers and take advantage of that.
That, again, I think, Jim, will be kind of an interesting part of the game, because you're right. You know, and one of the great things about this Gonzaga team is that ability, right? I mean, those turnovers, and they turn into points in such a hurry, and I think we talked about this before, but, you know, Gonzaga scores 50 points a game in the paint. And Drew Timmy obviously is responsible for quite a bit of that, but you know, a lot of it is, you know, that kind of thing, forcing turnovers, getting layups, you know, being disruptive, and so that'll be an interesting part of it. I think when you look at, you know, our ability, you know, hopefully to turn them over a little bit and be able to take advantage that way, because you know, one of the great things I think for Coach Few this year with this group is, you know, trying to get to that offensive end so fast and start running the offense before the defense can really get set up. And I think with this USC team especially, that is going to be a huge key, because, you know, with their length and their ability to slow you down, you know, if you're able to get out and score and transition and do some things, you know, I think that'll be a big advantage for Gonzaga if they're able to do that. So I think that's going to be one of the keys as well.
You know, it's safe to say, I mean, this is an Elite Eight team, USC, you know, making it to the Elite Eight. Obviously, they're good. But, I mean, right now, if you look at, you know, they beat Drake, they beat Kansas and Oregon, and really handled all three of those teams, they might be even as good as you guys are right now, Tom. They might be playing the best basketball this tournament right now in USC.
It's really interesting to see, Jim, how this whole thing plays out, because, you know, again, when you know you look at their record and you really start breaking it down, I mean, even the games they've lost this year, you know, I mean, for the most part, they've been, you know, extremely competitive as you know look at their schedule and start breaking things down, and you're right. You know, they are playing well right now. And, I mean, I think, you know, seeing, you know, what they did to Kansas, you know, and sometimes in these tournament games, I think you see something like that, and you're like, okay, well, hey, they, you know, it's kind of an out-of-body experience, and they're going to come back down to earth a little bit, you know, maybe next time out. Well, that didn't happen. I mean, watching what they did to Oregon last night was a little scary, to be honest. I mean, you're right. They're playing so well right now, and I think they have a great, you know, sense of confidence, and I think, you know, what probably helps them too is the entire Pac-12 has played well, right? And so there's a little bit of an extra chip, because all year the Pac-12 was, you know, was talked down and you know, not considered one of the better, you know, leagues in the country. And now, you know, you look up and you're like, boy, look at all these teams they have still playing. And I think that kind of boosts that confidence a little bit too. And again, I think add some of that, you know, hey, we're here to show the world. If they were the only team, you know, from the conference who had done well, okay, you know, but I think that adds just a little bit of But they're playing extremely well. You're right. I mean, you watch what they've done here, you know, over the last little bit. I mean, just not just a tournament. I mean, I know they lost to Colorado, but you know, they've won some good games leading up to these last couple. So, yeah, they're playing really well, Jim, and I expect it's going to be a heck of a matchup tomorrow night.
Tom Hudson, voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. We've talked about this a little bit after seeing how things played out for the NBA when they did the bubble, and now the NCAA has done the same thing in Indianapolis. How much of an impact has it, Tom, in your opinion, been on not traveling? How much has it helped maybe improve the quality of play because teams aren't traveling all across the country? It's at one, you know, one centralized location. The pluses and minuses of this, and is this something maybe at least for the Sweet 16, because we kicked this around the other day, should the NCAA think about this for the Sweet 16 of playing it at one site from Sweet 16, Elite Eight, all the way to the title game?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Jim, and I'll be interested to see when this whole thing is over how they approach it and what they take away from it. I mean, I will say, you know, I think a little bit right now, and obviously you're excited to be here, and I will say, you know, they've let the kids get out a little bit more, and it's all supervised, and it's still very bubble-like, but, you know, they went to the zoo, they've been to Topgolf, they're able to get over to the minor league ballpark that's just right down the street from the hotel and get out and get some, you know, some fresh air and some sunshine and, you know, maybe goof around. You know, they've been playing badminton and throwing a football and that kind of stuff. That's for all the teams. So, you know, I think now that we've gotten to the Sweet 16 and now moving into the Elite Eight, not as many teams are here and you're able to do some of that stuff. So it is interesting. You know, I only wonder a little bit about the kind of the stagnation of being here. Now, in future years, right, where everybody's not going to be locked down, so it won't be a bubble, so it might be a little bit easier to do that, you know. And then I think, you know, probably the biggest thing would be, you know, figuring out the cities that could handle that. And I think there are probably plenty of them out there. I mean, Indianapolis, you know, having Butler and IUPUI and then obviously the Pacers place and Lucas Oil, you know, they play games at Purdue and Indiana. I mean, this is a fantastic place to be able to pull that off. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how much they look at it and say, hey, you know what, this is actually, you know, working out pretty well. You know, because, like I said, I think there's some pros and some cons. And I do think that, you know, even though they've been able to get out a little bit, it's still starting to feel, you know, I mean, I know how I feel right now. I'm able to get out a little bit. But it's, you know, it's starting to wear a little bit here. you know, and I do think, you know, too, Jim, kind of what the interesting part is when you go back to that is, you know, the fact that we had all of these days between games. You know, and you're right. So if you came here for a Sweet 16 and then you were only, you know, here for a couple days before you moved into the Elite Eight and then the Final Four, that might have a better feeling. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the takeaway is, because I'll say this, you know, Coach Few has been very complimentary of how the NCAA has handled this. I mean, this is not an easy situation, and I know there's been some, you know, some media out there kind of, you know, talking this and that about, you know, what they're doing. But, you know, I mean, to imagine the logistics of bringing 68 teams in and trying to keep everybody, you know, safe and you know, in a bubble and doing all of that, I think Indianapolis has done a wonderful job. And so, you know, it might be a blueprint moving forward, like you said, to possibly do something where you bring everybody in the Sweet 16 into one site.
Tom Hudson joining us today, the voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. We'll have the call of Gonzaga taking on USC tomorrow night in the Elite Eight. And so you said you went to what a Native American Western Museum the other day. What other places, Tom, have popped up for you as time killers while you're in Indianapolis?
You know what's funny is that today the laundromat is going to be a time filler. I need to go and wash some clothes.
Since they found all your clothes and everything, you actually have some clothes to wash, right?
Yeah, exactly. They got here, and so I'm going to go do that a little bit. But, you know, there are a couple other museums that are just right down the street, so I may go and do that. Like I said, you know, when the weather's been nice, there's a canal that runs right through the city here, and it's a beautiful place to walk. So I've been getting out and doing that a little bit. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, Domantas Sabonis, the former Zag, plays for the Pacers. They had one game. I didn't go. A few people that I know that were in town were able to go and watch that. So, if we are able to win, I think they might be in town again sometime during this week. So maybe try to go and do that. But yeah, it's kind of interesting, and I do like Indianapolis. It's a neat town for sure. But yeah, trying to come up with some stuff. I think I am going to go see those other museums here this afternoon, and then maybe even tomorrow morning. Because you know, it's funny with a 7:15 tip, and we thought we might get the 9:30 or 9:45 tip because it's two teams from the West Coast, but And those are long days waiting for those things. So I'm going to go out and do that so I don't go completely stir crazy, because it starts getting a little bit nerve-wracking, and especially, you know, spending so much time by yourself, you've got way too much time to think.
I can understand. When I was over and stuck in the snow over in Golden here a couple of weekends ago doing Mesa, I understand. Not to nearly the length, though, that you've been in Indianapolis. You've been there for a much, much longer period of time. Tom Hudson from Gonzaga joining us this morning on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. One final thing, Tom. Who has the better mustache? Adam Morrison during his heyday with his stash, or Drew Timmy? Which one has the better mustache?
Oh, boy. You know what? I think if Mo was sitting there with me, he would probably agree that it's Drew. Mo's was iconic, but I think there was a part of that, too, that it was maybe not always quite fully developed. You know, the fact that Drew's able to pull that one off pretty good is impressive.
I looked at some pictures of Adam's mustache, a little patchy at times.
Yeah, there's better good, and then there's better bad.
Yes.
I think Adam Morrison's was better as the bad mustache.
Yes, and it did its own deal and really took the world by storm. And obviously, you know, leading the nation in scoring didn't hurt him at all. And I think with Drew, you know, and Drew's funny because, you know, he's such a goofy kid off the floor. He's got a great personality, and I think, you know, he's having a lot of fun with it. And you know, and again, being here in one place, you've got a lot of time to think about it and do it and have fun. So yeah, I think he's got that thing going pretty good right now, and it'll be interesting to see. My guess is he's going to keep it. You know, he had a mustache earlier this year that he grew for just a little bit, and then he just shaved it off one day, and, you know, I think he was almost getting bored. But I think with the way he's played so far, you're going to see that for the remainder of our time here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm sure. Make sure, you know, you, Coach Few, everybody, don't leave it alone.
The Bull Durham, never mess with a winning streak.
Never mess with a winning streak. It's 29-0 right now. Don't mess with it, okay?
I agree.
Just leave that thing alone. Hey, Dom, I appreciate it, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again about a Final Four appearance for Gonzaga after tomorrow night. I always appreciate catching up with you, and thanks for working us in today.
Hey, sure, Jim, absolutely no problem, and hopefully we're talking Final Four. It's going to be a tough one, but fingers crossed that we keep moving in this thing.
Absolutely. Thinking good thoughts for you as well. Thanks, Dom, appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Jim.
All right, Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga.
So it's laundry day.
Yes, for Tom Hudson.
When you're on the road and you have to do laundry, do you even bother separating?
I don't know. Probably not. See, I've never
not
been
for me,
gone right? long enough. Well,
yeah.
You know, like for a basketball trip or a broadcasting trip. You know, we went to Scotland. We were gone for 12 days, and we never did laundry. I tried to pack enough, but we had to keep it because we had to travel around quite a bit.
Right.
I didn't, you know, wasn't going to take trunk or something
Your Chevy Chase European vacation.
Yeah, it was not like that at all. So
each bag is $70.
Clothes got recycled quite a bit.
They got
a second wear and a third wearing on occasion.
I'm not a separator in the first place. I am now because I've been told to. So
because you've got somebody that's
that's a little bit different. But yeah, I wonder if do you even bother at that point. Or do you, you know what? I got the time. Let's separate. Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how Tom, maybe they get to Final Four, we'll ask him.
Did you separate clothes on laundry day?
Yeah. We'll find out. We'll see. That'll be a big question. Burning question.
He's got enough time today. He can go to a wonderful state of Ohio just next door.
He doesn't need to, though. He's just doing laundry, man. Come on. Doesn't need to go. What, are Ohio washing machines better than Indiana ones?
You don't know. Who knows how expensive washing machines are?
I think they're probably... He's just fine. He's not going to go to Ohio. I don't think so. 8:46. Chris Hanks will join us 9:20 this morning. Mavericks coming off that weekend sweep of Regis and Adams State. So he'll be joining us next hour. If you're thinking about going out tonight and taking in the Elite Eight, you need to stop by 357 Reloaded. They're in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton. Perfect place to go to watch your favorite team take in NCAA basketball tonight. And it's also the perfect place to go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. For example, they have their breakfast. They're two slices of French toast, biscuit, sausage, and egg sandwich. That's $3.30. Biscuit and gravy with hash browns. Oh, one of my favorites. Chicken fried steak, too. $5.50. And huevos rancheros with hash browns. And then for lunch, they've got a variety of things. They've got sandwiches. They've got burgers for their entrees. They have the 8-ounce flat iron steak. They have the chicken strip dinner. They have the fish and chips. It's all there along with their famous $4.22 ounce beers at 357 Reloaded. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, watching your favorite team. It's the place to be in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton. Stop by and see them today at 357 Reloaded. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado Sports Leader.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 850, Jim Davis, along with the Buckeye Boy. Who is that a fruit? Are you eating an apple? Is that an apple over there?
It is covered in sugar, though. No, yes, it's an apple.
Wow. Well, I get the apple's probably just a delivery, you know, system for the sugar, but man, you are taking this health thing seriously. I'm shocked.
That hospital stay wasn't very fun.
I don't know if I've ever seen you eat a vegetable or a fruit. So this is a first.
You got to turn the mic off to chew. Okay. I got a bag of apples here.
Okay.
I got some strawberries and a banana.
What?
I may have to take the rest of the show off to finish it all, but.
Well, if you must, you must, but I don't think you probably need to.
Yep.
You could probably wait till after.
We got a victory lapping intern, though. He can come over here.
Oh, sure. He can. Plug intern Matt in there.
If he can take time away from his victory lap.
He's handled it well. If you've handled it well, you've been okay. You've been fine.
I did get the...
What the heck?
A shoulder shrug.
I'm getting a lot of heat from Rio here.
Yeah.
I don't know where this comes from. Well, uncalled for.
My bracket is trash, so that's
You don't know him well enough, intern Matt. You should expect this.
Uh-huh.
If you've listened to the show for any length of time... And you come on here, you should expect this kind of garbage. You're gonna get this kind of crap from it.
Is my job.
You're right. I should have known.
Blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of brackets.
Yes.
So the celebrity brackets from fourth to first stand like this. Katie is pulling up the rear. Surprisingly, Cake is not. He has 3 more points than Katie.
Okay.
I have 1 more point than Cake, and you're 13 points up on all of us with 63 to my 50.
Looking good. It's looking good. Now, at one point, I was leading the entire bracket
you
loser,
still
right?
You are.
Really?
Yeah, so you got a chair in your future.
Wow.
Which is nice.
Wow. I'm pleased. I'm thrilled. I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of myself.
Not sure how this happens, but you're leading.
Shall we get into a good call, bad call very quickly?
Yeah.
Want to do that? Okay. Wow, I can't believe I'm leading still.
I can't believe it either.
Was that a good call or did they totally blow
hater.
It?
Jealous
it's
hater.
Good call or bad call?
Such a jerk.
Can play the music
Why is
there?
This not?
There we go. There we go.
I'm killing it today.
Do you want to bring up the thing about Aaron Gordon's number again?
So Aaron Gordon is wearing 50.
Okay.
Because A, he wants a fresh start. Which, okay.
Okay.
But B is the real reason, because he got 50 points last year in the overtime session of the dunk contest and lost to some other guy whose name I've forgotten because I don't have the page up anymore. But he's holding on to that bitterness, which I respect. You know I would respect that. He's holding on to that hate and discontent, and that's why his jersey number is 50.
But there's another reason, and this is where it might be a good call why he's 50. Because he has a documentary coming out called Mr. 50.
About his slam dunk contest loss.
Yes. And so, it goes from a bad call, in my book, to a good call. Because he's using this to promote the documentary. Good for him.
Can't we remake like a Muppets movie instead of a documentary about him losing the slam dunk contest?
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to necessarily watch it, but I got to give him high marks for branding, for marketing. I gotta give him high marks for that.
Yeah, sure, that's a waste of film. It worked out for UCLA in the long run because they ended up winning anyway. But Seth Davis was beside himself on Twitter last night. He's the always foul up three bandwagon guy.
Right.
It worked out for UCLA, but good call, bad call, foul up three with under 5 seconds left to go. That's a great call. Because they can only, the best possible outcome is making two free throws. Right. You're still leading with the ball.
Makes sense to me.
That's a good call.
That's a really good call. All right, there are rumors that now the Niners have moved up to number three.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to draft Mac Jones. Is that a bad call or a good call?
That's a bad call.
I think it's a bad call.
At
I just
three?
Don't, at three, no. At nine for the Broncos, I wasn't sure that was...
Yeah, that's too big of a gamble for me.
I think so as well. All right, Chris Angst will join us next hour. Talk a little Mav baseball at 9:20.